Papermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Now you remember...
The media project is underway. This is an opportunity for you to get a little insight into the media issues of the week from those of us who are practitioners of. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. Dr. Alan Shartok is here, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio.
It's always my pleasure to be here with you because I have to keep an eye on the three of you.
Yes, we will do our best to stay in line, sir. And Rosemary Armeo is here, investigative journalist and professor. How are you?
Hello, good.
And Judy Patrick, vice president of the New York Press Association, longtime editor of the Daily Gazette. She was. How are you?
I'm glad to be here.
You know, it's interesting because when you're the editor of a big newspaper like the Gazette, it's big stuff. But when we announce you as the vice president of the Newspaper Association, it sounds even more impressive.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's titles for you.
Titles. I remember when publishers suddenly started using the title CEO. Alan is a CEO, you know, and this was about 20 years ago, the title CEO suddenly got into the media.
I agree with you, Rex, and I don't think they should do it here at WAMC. Behind my back, they always put CEO somewhere, and I don't like it. I don't think it's appropriate. I think, you know, if you're the president of a company, that should be it.
We'll just call you Big Kahuna, or just Kahuna, perhaps. In any case, this is the Media Project, and we have mail from one of our listeners. Tim in Schuyler Lake says from last week's show where we talked about journalists' potential biases, he says that he's an admirer of Ira Fussfeld. Ira was here last week, but he's wrong that reporters should not be allowed to enroll in a political party. And Alan seemed to share his anxieties about potential revelations about journalists' personal affiliations in this regard. I think to the contrary, Alan, you were quite outspoken about you want journalists to be identified for who they are.
I do, because I think every time you read an article in the New York Times or another great paper, you say, I wonder what that guy is. You know, it seems to me that there may be a little bit of a slant here towards the Democratic position, so it would be nice to know where they were coming from.
Just to reiterate my stances, where do you draw the line? There's so many ways in which we're biased by our environment, by geography, gender, age, social status, that is economic status. So you could do a whole biographical sketch on each reporter at the end of each report on WAMC, which would be an interesting notion that you could take a little 5 minutes after each story that your reporters file and explain who these reporters are and where their biases are. And that just seems a little extreme to me.
So let me ask you a question, Rex.
Okay.
And I hope you'll take
So how are you going to handle that since I was a question to you? Why don't you do that?
I hope you'll forgive me for asking this. How deep in your cheek is your tongue?
Well, no, I'm just saying I think your stance is a little extreme and not quite as well thought out as your usual position.
Well, look, stop. all three of you, the only thing I could call you are newspaper apologists. You guys are, you know...
Nostalgics would be a better word.
Nostalgics. Could be.
When we had more influence and power. Do you think that journalists make good politicians? Can you make a transition from writing about to making news?
I don't know. I think the great freedom of journalism is that your job is to tell the truth, and the burden of politics is to get elected. And truth-telling really interferes with that a lot of the time, I think.
Truth-telling is such a good quality in a politician, however.
Where do you see it? Where do you see people who don't distort their views in order to suck up to voter groups?
As lawyer for Rosemary, I want to just say as her representative here, I agree with you, Rosemary, number one, because Rex is on the other side, and I always enjoy that.
You always take the opposite,
Well, not take the opposite. You know, I feel the opposite. But the fact of the matter is everything is relative. So there are some politicians, some broadcasters, some newspaper people who adhere to truth, and then you have the other side. So it isn't as if it's either or. It isn't. It is that some do well and some don't.
Oh, no, I don't think I agree with that. I think,
what?
I think that journalists tell the truth, and those few who don't are routed out and really pilloried in a way that they are not in business if they're routed out. But I ask the question because journalism used to be the way to change the world. You show the truth to people and things happen. Now I don't think that's true. I think it's lawyers and politicians who change the world.
Who changed the world for good or for ill. Maybe you're thinking of a time, a brief period, that brief shining moment after Watergate. Isn't that what you're imagining?
Well, that's certainly my salad day, so it comes to mind. But yeah. I think it's been true throughout a long period in American history that journalists made a difference. Now it's not. Now it's young people. Look at the Time Person of the Year this year is what got me started on this. Greta Thunberg, the young teenage Swedish girl who is calling out truth to power.
I wanted to ask you a question, Rosemary, maybe a little bit off the track, but you mentioned it was your salad days.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, the Italian way of doing it is to eat the salad at the end of the meal as opposed to before the meal. Don't you see the problem I'm having with your reference to salad days?
Yeah, my family did it before dinner.
So can I chime in here and say that I still think journalism can affect change, positive change. I think we tend to look at national politics and rub our hands in despair, but I think there are a lot of stories that are happening every day across the country where something bad is being pointed out and something good is happening. Something is being done to fix it. Greta Thunberg is getting wide acclaim, as she should. But part of her success has been the fact that she's gotten very good media coverage.
That's a really great point, that it is in the local communities where, although, as we note, the problem of sustaining local journalism is significant, and we've talked about that in the show a lot, but isn't that where that kind of watchdog work is being done, where you can still have an impact, right?
Well, the interesting thing is studies have shown that in places that have lost their newspapers, taxes go up, corruption goes up. It's a check that we only are looking at now in the negative. You're not aware of it when it's happening, only when you lose the paper.
Right. Political participation goes down.
Correct.
Contracts are not scrutinized. People are not being held to account. And it's in raw numbers, which, you know, the NBA types love to see those raw numbers. And it is, as we say, a provable fact.
You know, I keep mentioning her on our program, Eileen Mooney, a woman in Great Barrington, goes to every single meeting. She goes to every single meeting, and she writes down every single fact.
You need to bring her on. You talk about her every week.
Well, she's extraordinary. I mean, you pay $35 or something like that for her newsletter, but I don't think she makes a living out of that. I just think it's extraordinary what one person can do to fill the void that you guys are talking about.
Well, that is the dream of the internet, isn't it? That there would be this great flowering of, in effect, citizen journalism that would enable citizens to keep an eye on government. The difficulty is that finding out what's going on behind the scenes, digging into what's not said at the public meetings that you're covering, is where a lot of the story really emerges, you know.
And there's more to it than that. You have to have, like, an edge. You have to challenge people and criticize people to be a really good journalist. And citizens not only don't like doing that, they're trained their whole life not to do it. Oh, that's impolite. Don't ask that. And journalism is the opposite of the way many of us are raised.
Well, I do believe that that's something that she does do. She does challenge people based on the information that she has. But she gives you a lot of basic raw information, which is extraordinary.
Right, but that's stenography. And your lady aside, I think that what our business has found is that this user-generated content is not sustainable, that they get tired of doing it after a while, that, you know, unless you get a paycheck or unless you're motivated by a higher purpose, you're going to do it maybe for 6 months or a year, but after a while, you know, nope, it takes too much time, they're not going to do
it. Even if you get a paycheck, you can get tired of it.
You know, we had many community blogs that ran on timesunion.com, and we have far fewer now because they emerged as just places for people to just state their opinions. We imagined 15 years ago that reporters would become like beat managers and that they would have this network of citizens who could cover things.
I have to laugh because really we did believe that.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah. And of course, it never works that way because citizens want their positions to be out there. They want to write about what's going on, and the hard work of actually digging behind what's going on there is a value to professional journalists. And I do think, Rosemary, that your pessimism that you can't change the world with journalism, I don't know. I think you still can. I think it's still possible.
I think I heard some dissonance. I'm not one to make trouble. but I do believe I heard some dissonance between Rosemary and you, Rex, because there was the question. I'm just not quite finished yet.
All right, I'll be quiet.
No, you don't have to be quiet. I would never say that to you. But, you know, it's one thing to be a stenographer, you know, the accusation is, well, somebody's just a stenographer. And the other is, Rex is saying, A, that people want to have their opinions out there, but B, how does that conflict with the idea of a stenographer? I mean, what makes a reporter any better at any of that than anything else?
They're standing up. I'm sorry, but Alan, there is some skill set that journalists bring to the game, and there is the value of their publishers actually having a platform for them. My publisher has lawyers at the ready to back us up when we do work that gets people ready to sue us. You know, we are able to project our content out into the public. Why is it that you think we're at a record number of journalists being in jail right now around the world? It's because they're doing aggressive work, truth-telling, that is very hard for governments to handle. And I guarantee if we didn't have some of the protection that we have right now, Donald Trump would have journalists in jail.
Well, first of all, I agree with much of what you've just said. But on the other hand, there's a difference between what's going on in one country and what's going on in this country. Right now, you still have a right to speak without getting thrown in jail, don't you?
Yes, in this country. That's true. Yeah. Journalists have only been thrown in jail rarely for failing to divulge their sources when the government is trying to investigate how they got their information. That tends to be the only way.
Mostly that's because they have discovered more effective ways in throwing journalists into jail, which just leads to a legal fight that the politicians will lose. Instead, they ridicule and discredit. And that's far more valuable. In Bosnia, where I work, you can write anything you want. It's actually even in some ways more free than here. But no one pays any attention to it. They just don't read it and ignore it, act as if it never happened. There's all kinds of ways to combat journalism.
Well, we know that, and we know this president is extraordinarily dangerous by putting out there that we're the enemies of the people, because what it does is it gives license to those people who want to take you on. And therefore, it's very dangerous, because if the president of the United States says to one of his followers, these people are the enemies of the people, what do you think the natural consequences of that is going to be eventually?
Well, I think the worst thing you can do to a reporter is not read their story. You know, I think that you can call them names, you can threaten them, but I think for a reporter, at least in this country, the real assault is if you're so turned off by them, you won't read their content. So all their good work is going into a deep, dark hole that nobody reads.
I heard from a major politician in New York State last week who asked this conversation.
Major.
Yeah. Was the governor back on?
It was not the governor.
No, so major's pretty up there.
We're not going to play 20 questions here. That's right. And basically, the accusation, did you write the headline on that column of yours? And of course, we all know we don't write the headlines on the column. He knew it too, by the way. I don't think there's any question.
And he was upset about the headline? He didn't like it?
He was upset about a third of the column that I had written. And, you know, I'd been positive about the politician, but also I had raised the negative thing that I thought needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So we should just check your last week's column to figure out who that
right,
politician
major,
was?
Right, major.
I think negativity
Senator.
Is part of the problem that journalists are facing, too, is that we seldom write big investigations or exposés about happy news. And I'm thinking of the Afghanistan papers running in the Washington Post. This is a major, it's the Pentagon papers of this decade. And I pointed out on the roundtable the other day that this is coming out from a liberal bastion. The Washington Post has been denigrated as, you know, unbelievable, failing and lying by Trump. And it came out with an expose that makes the two previous administrations, Obama's and Bush's, look lying, deceitful, as bad as anything Nixon did.
And why does it have so little impact?
Boy, I don't understand it.
Isn't it because when the Pentagon Papers came out, we were unaware of how duplicitous our government was, and so it shocked us. And now we expect our government to lie to us. And I think that the expose and the articulation of exactly where those lies have been over the past 20 years just doesn't shock, doesn't surprise us at all, because we're inured to it, right?
That may well be, and I'm amazed that even Obama or any of his administration officials have not come out with the response to it. At least Nixon did that, you know, saying this is how we justify it. There's nothing. So it does sort of justify the belief of too many people in this country that they all lie. So why do we expect honesty from our politicians?
You know, I got an email from the Washington Post because I'm a subscriber, and they to thank me and to say that one of the reasons they were able to pursue this investigation was because I subscribed, because I was one of the people that helped pay for it. They have spent 3 years in court struggling to get all this information. They're still in court, and the estimate is that this costs several hundred thousand dollars in legal fees.
Well, of course, Amazon is owned by the same guy who owns the Washington Post, right?
Trump points that out every chance he gets. Why are you pointing it out?
Well, because I wanted to say something that I found very interesting. This is the Media Project.
I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah, how dare you, Alan, open your mouth. But it is interesting that Trump gave a contract, that the government gave a contract to the competitor to Amazon.
Right.
He was going to show him and punish him by doing that.
And Amazon is going to court to challenge that award of that contract, a huge contract for what? What's the purpose?
Is it for server hosting, web hosting?
It could be server hosting. I can't recall. But the fact is, Amazon is going to be suing on the basis that this was an act of vengeance by the president rather than a thoughtful awarding of the contract based on a review of the dollars and cents.
Involved. I would say to that, Drex, GLC, which stands for Good Luck, Charlie.
Thank you. Well, you know, it depends. If the judges behave in an unbiased way of what we used to expect judges to be, that could be.
That's a huge if.
But people should read that Afghanistan series of stories. There's a podcast, there's interactives. The examples, the writing is great, and the examples they use, they make your jaw drop. It's true. It's more than just the headlines. You've got to spend some time. It takes maybe 10 minutes to read one of these stories. They're very well written, very easy to digest. Take the time if you're out there. And the other media companies need to cover it more. I think that they got scooped, so they weren't anxious to trumpet it.
Ooh, they do that, the kind of thing?
And I hope that they eventually pony up and start covering this as well.
That is such
an interesting... Yeah, they're at a disadvantage at the moment, though, because it's the Washington Post that spent time in court and has all the documents.
Has all the
documents. No one else does.
But it must be, think if you're the New York Times reporter, who got beat on this, his second paragraph said, the Washington Post reported today, the second paragraph of the New York Times story.
That's
a big deal.
But, you know, I think there's actually more likelihood that citizens will go to watch the Clint Eastwood movie on Richard Jewell and get their idea of journalism from that than read the Afghanistan papers.
Now, will somebody unconfuse me on this whole thing? First, there was the bombing in the stadium.
Right.
Then Jewell was immediately taken as the guy who pointed out the hero, and then he was the suspect, right? And then didn't Jewell sue a newspaper?
He sued a bunch of outlets, and they all settled with him except for the main newspaper at the time at the location, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Right.
And he lost against them.
Now, what the movie does, it takes a real-life reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution who has since died, a woman named Kathy Scruggs, and fictitiously, as far as we know, puts forth the notion that she was having an intimate relationship with an FBI agent, I believe, who leaked the information to her. In fact, the FBI was looking briefly at Jewell as a potential suspect. He was supposedly a hero. Right. And then the question was, and that's what the AJC reported, as did the networks after that, NBC and others.
It wasn't just that they briefly looked at him. They went to his house and pulled it apart.
Yeah.
They went to his mother's house and pulled that apart. I can remember the coverage that showed FBI vehicles surrounding the house. Well, it was a legitimate story to cover, but Jewell was not really the person who did it.
Right.
Well, let me just ask you, three former editors or present editors, what in fact you think of a reporter who would trade, if it's true?
It's not true.
That's the point. It is not true. That's
why
we're talking about
women journalists do not sleep with their sources.
They get fired if they do that.
There has never been any allegation that this woman slept with a source.
Well, somebody
and there is
just
no
made that allegation.
You
right?
just
no,
are giving it credence. Do
no,
not give it credence.
You're the one who told us. What...
Shame on you for giving this
shame on you.
Absolutely inappropriate.
In fact, shame on Clint Eastwood, who's the director of this movie.
You're the one, Rex, who started this whole thing by saying that was the allegation that was made in the movie,
which
right?
is by way of
that's why we're upset
it.
About the movie.
Exactly,
well, I understand.
So, and you're saying, how do we know she didn't?
No, I didn't say that. I asked you as editors, and I think everybody out there is interested. And you've answered it quite well. What your position would be if you found out?
Fire her immediately.
You would.
Yeah. I would. Yes.
This is difficult though, because consider this: journalists have intimate relationships with people in politics. Consider Chuck Todd, for example, the host of NBC's Meet the Press. His wife is a major Democratic organizer. Now, it doesn't mean that he is a Democrat, but it is more difficult these days since we are no longer living in the world where we assume that people can't have political views different from their husbands and wives, right?
Look at Kellyanne.
Maybe look at Kellyanne. On the other hand, there is somebody who keeps putting stuff out as a senior person in the White House.
Who is anonymous?
Back
to women reporters. It's an image that is in this movie and many others that they lie, cheat, and sleep with sources. Even Sally Field. Okay?
Right in
Absence of Malice.
Lois Lane. And I mean, not she, that she slept
him.
With Superman.
She married him.
Yes, and I can't think of...
the one real-life example of a journalist, a woman journalist who met a source and they fell in love. She gave up the beat. She stopped covering the beat because it was unethical to cover something that her beloved was involved in. And that's the way journalists really work. I want people to know that.
Well, as somebody who has watched this with some interest, I know people who did exactly what you just said. They covered somebody. Sex is a function of opportunity. They met them, and then they quit the beat, or they were moved from the beat.
You know, you never hear about male reporters doing this, in part because typically women aren't in a position of power to divulge any information that the male reporters are after,
but you
never hear about that.
Okay.
And that's never alleged.
Let me just get that straight. The reason you don't hear about male reporters is what?
Well, part of it is the fact that there are not enough women in power that the male reporters are trying to get information from.
So are you making an accusation here that male reporters go around?
No, they pray in the newsroom.
But the bottom line is the acquisition of news is kind of boring. I mean, it's working the sources, it's talking and having coffee and conversation. It's not
research in the library. That's thrilling.
Right. Doing good stories that make sources trust you as a reporter, building sources up that way. I think that there are instances where this happens, but when Redditors find out about it, those people are gone.
People generally, in my experience, people actually remove themselves. They report on themselves.
Sure.
And they then get themselves taken off the beat. We actually had that circumstance in my newsroom about some years ago where a woman came in and actually requested a beat change because she recognized that she had developed a relationship with somebody who was really an important source on her beat and said, I think we need to change this.
Giving a whole new meaning to the word covering.
Well, we actually have had theoretical, of course, debates in many newsrooms where I worked out, like, what story would you put out for if someone asked you? For me, it was the 18 minutes on the Nixon tape. I would have slept with somebody for that.
I love you, Rosemary.
It is maddening, though. Clint Eastwood is not a friend of the press. He's not a friend of liberals anywhere, and he's put out a movie that will draw in a lot of attention, and it's just such a bad image. I just really hate that.
I hope our listeners don't go to see Richard Jewell, the movie, because it's based upon a false premise.
And, well, in all honesty, now that I know the truth from you, Rex, and
glad
and
to help, Robert,
I'm definitely going.
Hey, what do you do? Speaking of not intimacy, but friendliness, let's say, we have two parties with radically different views of the press. Donald Trump says the media are lying, that we're the enemies of the people. Nancy Pelosi, in a holiday party, raised a glass and toasted the press as guardians of democracy. Chuck Schumer calls out Trump's fictions and says that he buys into baseless conspiracy theories told by the known liars on Fox News. And so how do you effectively and without bias cover these two political parties when one is, in effect, embracing you and one is chastising you constantly?
Oh, I know. You just tell the truth.
Ah!
I mean, what else can you do? You say, one guy says, these people are the enemy of the people. Well, you say that and you say it, you put it out there, people are gonna respond to the truth as opposed to an opinion, right?
You know, frankly, journalists really don't want to get praise from anybody, I think. I mean, I never really liked it when someone called me up and praised my coverage.
It is a terrific story.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
I'm not trying to please the source with this story.
Well, so
I'm just trying to write
when Chris Churchill does a great column, I write them and say...
But you're not the source. You're just a colleague.
Oh, no.
You're
no,
a colleague. That's
well,
different.
Well, I mean, I write them and I say, you know, when you're a twin, as I am, everybody is a competitor.
But I was a little uncomfortable with the fact that Nancy Pelosi raised a glass of champagne and toasted the reporters. It's almost like it leaves the impression that we're in cahoots with the Democratic Party.
Not me. I thought it was a brilliant move on her part. It showed the American people how important the press was, and God bless her for doing it.
I see both your points of view. I hadn't thought of that, Judy, but you're right. The right always talks about Democrats and their colleagues in the press as if we get down and sit down every day and discuss how we can advance the Democratic Party agenda.
It is interesting that, you know, last year during the holiday season, Andrew Cuomo opened the mansion to a party for the media, which I hadn't seen in some years. Maybe they've been doing it for years and I just wasn't invited for years.
His pop used to do it all.
Yeah, I remember that. And he had Fabian Palomino, his best pal, dressed up as Santa Claus.
And then dressing up as a horse.
And it was... But, you know, not that long after that, I got a scorching phone call from the governor. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that he can be very civil on the one hand and then absolutely almost vicious on the other. That is...
We're talking about Andrew Mario.
Andrew, in this case. Mm-hmm. The father as well. I mean, sure. I think that... And I think there may be some of that with Nancy Pelosi, that she is appropriately recognizing the value of a free press, but I don't think that she's necessarily always pleased with the coverage.
Sure, she called out that reporter from Sinclair just the other day. Don't mess with me with that word.
Right.
Okay, that's considering Sinclair Press, and that's stretching it.
Yeah, Sinclair, which has mandated right-wing coverage on its local TV stations, including CBS 6 here.
Propaganda, more like it.
So that's all we have time for here. I'm sorry, Alan.
This program should be an hour.
Well, you can go talk to yourself in a corner and just pretend. Isn't that nice? Alan Shartok, who doesn't like to be called CEO of Northeast Public Radio, the grand poobah, anyway.
So you're doing it.
Anyway, that's it. That's it. You got it. Rosemary Armeo, Judy Patrick, and I'm Rex Smith, and we thank you for joining us on The Media Project.
They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.